This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On the 30-meter line, they're going to take it. They're going to take it soon. Pierce to the 30. They run for a try now. It's come down to Graham. Back to the middle. It's found Minicello. A long-range shot for Manessa.
He's got it.
Oh, what a kick.
He got it.
What a kick.
Hello, and thanks very much for tuning in to this week's episode of the Irish NRL Show. Delighted to be joined for the Tash as we review round 20, as well as a little preview of round 21. But first and foremost, how are you, Tash? All good?
Not too bad. Busy out of the bank holiday week, but we survived it.
Yeah, no, it was. Obviously, we had the Irish Grand Final, so we obviously 2 out of 3 for the Exiles.
New All-Ireland champions.
New All-Ireland champions. Two new All-Ireland champions, really. Obviously, Banbridge won the championship final as well. So, yeah, look, lots of good rugby on display in Malahide. But we'll probably jump straight into the Tasman. I think we're a bit tight for time this week.
So Thursday, July 28th, 10 to 11. Seagulls took on Roosters at Four Pine Park. It was a good first half for the Roosters. Daniel Tupou opened the score with a nice pass, missed pass from Walker into the corner. Then Butcher was at the end of a serious grubber from Teddy up the top there. The Roosters had the majority of the ball for the first 20 minutes. Like, then Manly sort of answered back through Andrew Davies. I think he's new, he was a rookie, or he's one of these new boys from all the controversy of this jersey they had. He got Manly back into the game with a DC little lead ball past him, ran into a lovely hole for DC. Then Manu just squeezed over the way Manu squeezes over then for the Roosters again. 5 metres out, just put the head down and find someone to hit in the chest with your head and run over him. It works for him. If it works for him, keep on doing that. Sort of a worrying thing that came out of this was Lindsay Collins got another head knock. I think two head knocks now in the last 4 weeks, maybe, from the Origin. He knocked himself out, and then this one, and he failed the HIA. And the Roosters seem to
attract this.
But the Roosters, after the head knock, they did nothing. I think they scored a penalty, and that was it then for the hold of the second half. So I think that knocked the wind out of them. Another debutant, I think Smallin, scored in the corner for Manly, 2 minutes left, just consolation try to make it 10-20 to the Roosters. I think there was a great running battle from Jared Hargreaves and Zach Fulton for most of the game. I think everyone was saying, Hargreaves shouldn't be doing that, but I think Zach was cheeky enough to say, "Have you not retired yet?" or something like this along the lines. So I think
impressed me now. Zach Fulton,
he's a small, scooty sort of a prop, and he just got under Hargreaves. Every time he ran the ball, he was under him, taking the legs off him, so he could do nothing about it. And he stood up to the test the whole game, so fair play to him. And with the injury to Lindsay Collins, I think the transfer or the signing of Matt Lodge is going to be serious for Roosters in the running to the finals. I think it's two more games. I think Raiders are just behind the Roosters, and they're ticking away there.
It's points difference.
points. Yeah, it's like massive. Range. I think there's massive. It's minus 12 for Raiders. I think it's plus 98 or something for the Roosters.
I think there's about 100 points in the difference anyway. Yeah.
And the loss for the Rabbitohs there at the weekend as well. Everything's sort of starting to catch up at that end of the eight. Like, so it'll be interesting in the next couple of weeks now how tight that gets.
Yeah, there'll be a few rises and falls if in the last 5 weeks. Which we'll get to, because it was some, I suppose there was a few unforeseen results. Kind of, it was kind of a very interesting round. It was a lot of cats thrown amongst the pigeons. The next game, streak has finally been broken. It's finally been snapped.
Thank God, as everyone says.
Yeah. Now, it was kind of very unstorm. Like, they just couldn't get away from the Warriors until the second half. But like, a big concern for the Storm, especially in the final, it's gonna be that right edge defense. Like, they got destroyed big time. And I don't think there's gonna be the returning players between now and finals is gonna kind of fix that leak.
Yeah, like, if you look at, like, take Cameron Munster and Hughes out there and Olam, you look at that and think, woo, we're in trouble, something serious here. Like, yeah. I know David Nofluner is listed for this week, I think. But yeah, even that, like,
but I mean, like, at the end, like, we do have to get to a point where we kind of go, do you know what? Like, there's nothing they can do. Like,
it's, yeah, like, it's out of their hands, completely out of their hands.
If you want, like, if you want a perfect synopsis for the Storm season, like, this is it. Like, the 54th minute, Nick Meaney scores a gorgeous long range try. And they've done that all year. They've been able to score tries out of, like, nowhere. This phenomenal ability to do it. And then 2 minutes later, Nick Meaney's coming off with what could potentially be a season ending shoulder injury. I don't think it's going to be, but at the time, it was like,
I'd say if Bellamy was up in the York, just crying, like, nothing you could do. You just,
you can't even shout anymore. Yeah, it's just like, what?
God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah, obviously, key talking point is the big nasty incident, which wasn't a great look. But look, he didn't get banned, so move on.
Well, of all the things that went wrong this week, like, it really should have been. If you break someone's teeth, or his teeth are stuck in his mouth.
Now, what I would say is, on the player who lost his teeth, he looked brilliant when he moved to the halves.
Oh, yeah.
Wade Egan, like, I was like,
I think what's wrong with him is he needs to find a position that suits him. Like, he's really, he can go into a hooker, he can go into halves, he needs to pin something down.
Sometimes I think what's wrong with him is just the players around him.
Yeah.
Like, Chanel Harris-Davila is kind of, has 1 foot out the door. He's retiring, like, do you know what I mean? They've not had a consistent spine. The halves have kind of chopped and changed between a few players. And then obviously the whole drama with Reece Walsh looking to get out and kind of been dropped. And I think that's kind of probably what's kind of holding Wade Egan back. But I mean, if I was him, I'd actually, if he came out in the morning and was like, look, do you know what, I want to go back to Australia, he's probably the one player I wouldn't actually be too harsh on. I'd be like, yeah, do you know what, there's potential there where maybe you're not going to be an Origin player, but you could be a very, very good player in club land.
I think he's young enough, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's got all the raw skills. He'd do very well as, like, the, I know this is going to sound harsh, but it's not, as, like, the worst spine position player. Do you know what I mean? Like, if he was, say,
if you put that list down and read it out, like, you'd probably pick him as probably the one that you'd look for someone else, like, to bring in.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be an absolute bargain boy. That would do a very good job for you. My stat from this one, it's just territory swing. So in the first half, the Warriors had 68% territory compared to just 39% in the second half. And that's kind of where the Storm kind of basically just boxed them off. Other than that, it was very even. I kind of was looking for a stat, and that's why I'm going for territory, because that's not a stat I typically bring in on a weekly basis. But yeah. Good to see the Storm pick up the result. The Warriors, look, they're done. They've holidays booked.
They need go back and enjoy New Zealand.
We'll forgive them.
So Friday again at 5-11 in Compound Stadium, Eels took on the Panthers, 34-10 to the Eels. So no Luai. Sullivan just stepped into that gap of the running, six for Cleary, and came up with a nice try, and I think in the first 5 or 10 minutes, and then that just sort of woke the Eels up some serious. So like Papali'i got onto a kick from Brown, Moses kicked it to a 30-20, not a 40-20, a 30-20 across the field, like absolutely sweet as a nut. And I think about 2 minutes later, Sivo went over in his corner, like, and then Cleary. Cleary's head snap, I don't know what it was, but he does have a tendency to lift the leg and tackles. And just, if you look at it again, most times when someone lifts the leg, the two people that are holding him
exactly
will control the tackle a bit more, and the two boys just let go of him completely and just made him slap into the ground. Like, especially Brown, like a playmaker like that, the referee's going to, like any playmaker, the referee's going to sort of look at tackles more, if you get me. Like, so you're trying to take out the playmaker, they look at every tackle he goes into and sees if anything goes wrong. And it was just, he left, like, there was nothing the referee could do. Yeah, the referee, there's nothing he could do, like. And then it was just the easy game from them, like. Reid Manny scored 2, absolutely. Like, the first try was good, like a little wrap around. The second try, the boys, the Panthers were just asleep. Just a little scoop underneath the goalposts. I think Yao was one marker, like, and he just stepped up and let him straight through. And Gutterson grubbed for himself, an absolute stupid try, like. They just didn't deal with it at all. Like, I think the Panthers were, their heads were gone. Like, Moses kicked another 40-20 and Seba scored an absolute whirly again, just fucking ran over that.
He's getting back to full fitness.
Yeah, which is a scary fucking thing, like. Mm-hmm. I think the run-in for the Panthers, I don't know when Luai's back, but clearly it'll be a hard four games for the Panthers coming up. Like, I know that the rest of the lads are there, but without your two halves, it'll be a hard. I know Sullivan played well, but he still had Luai beside him. Now the fact that he has no one there, I know Salmon will probably step in, but even the two lads, I just don't think are the class of, you can't replace the two origin national halves, like. So it'll be interesting to see. I think the Eels, it's so fucking mad, like, with the Eels, how they play, like, top four teams.
Probably going to get burned with Manly at the weekend.
Come out and watch them, and then probably be asleep and not come up for the game at all. Like, it's just, I'd say Brad Arthur has his hair, like, if he had hair, he'd pull it out.
Yeah, he actually had an afro when he started.
Yeah, 6 years ago.
Now the only thing I just had additionally on that game, I'm going to cover it perfectly, was just in relation to the Cleary incident. And it's rare I give the Panthers credit, because there is a bit of a rivalry between ourselves, but they handled the entire incident with absolute class. Nathan Cleary.
Nathan Cleary came out, Ivan Cleary came out as well, like, and said there's nothing, like, there was no controversy in it. He said, look, if it happened against us, I'd be happy with the decision. The fact that it was us, it's still the referee read the right decision. No pressure on the refs, no pressure on the bunker. Yeah. Compared to, like, every decision that's happening now at the NRL, it seems that.
Or this whole thing of, do you know what, I haven't had a chance to see the replay.
Come out and say it, yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is. And look, I don't think it's, obviously, go to saying, I don't think it's a malicious play. It's just, it's unfortunate, but it's the rules of the game.
The fact that, like Brad Fiddler and I think Slater came out and said, like, he's not a bad lad. It's precedence. Like, if that was Hargreaves, say it, Hargreaves would get 7 fucking games. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. It's what it does. Like, it is what it is. Like, the tackle, a dumb tackle is 5 games or 4 games. So
and
he did it previous in the season as well. Like, he has So, like,
it's tackle technique as opposed to malicious. But the only thing I'd say is, like, we're lucky, and then we'll get to it later. But same with, like, the Paddy Harrigan thing. It's like, we're lucky we 4 or 5 games left that you can run these bands off with sides that are already qualified. I think if this happened
going into the finals,
round 23, then it gets very
hard. The first round of the finals.
Exactly.
It'd be absolutely horrible. Like.
Yeah. Fair. Titans, Raiders, obviously 24-36 in favour of the Raiders, 12-16 at half time. Look, I'm going to be extremely professional, but it's happening. I'm starting to believe.
It's coming home.
Nah, look, I suppose, like, a lot of the Raiders' tries, especially early on, came on the back of Titans' errors.
Yeah.
They look This is the Titans have really frustrated me, especially the last few weeks. They just look a right mess. But I don't think they're as bad as they are on the as they seem on the table. Like, they're rock bottom. Five rounds left. Legitimately, they probably could finish bottom. Now, I think the Knights probably deserve to finish bottom. Like, if you watch the Knights actually play, it's like they've never practiced tackle tech, or they've no defensive structure. They are abysmal. Whereas the Titans, they always give you something.
Yeah, there was always something about them a little bit that you give a little bit. And I think it's the hope. You know, they give you a glimmer of hope, and then all of a sudden they go and fuck it up.
It's probably, yeah. Now look, if I'm head of the Titans in the morning, I don't care if you have to end up paying out Brimson's contract. Campbell needs to be your starting fullback.
Oh, and that's, my God. I was going to say that.
He just offers that spark.
But like, it's just his speed, though. He went for Beaufort made that break. Like, and he was... If Beaufort gave to him earlier, he would have been under the sticks earlier, if you get me.
Yeah.
He had that much pace on him. Like, he actually roared at Bo when Bo turned the other way. And stopped running. He was like, what the fuck? And then took off again. So he gave them the chance to catch up with him, and then took off.
I just don't get it. Like, if you're, how you're not looking at that and saying, right, that is one spine position ironed down for the next 10 years. Like, let's
and he
just make it.
Like, with the whole relationship with his father, like, he loves that club. Like
and it's his neck of the woods. He's not too many miles
from
home.
He grew up there, and that's, home for him, is there.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't see many limitations in his game. Nothing that's not going to be improved with time. And it's just his support lines, which I don't think you get from Brimson. Brimson's more of a broken field runner. Jaden Campbell, yeah, look, he's a great broken field runner, but it's his support lines that are leading to those tries and kind of...
Yeah. He's able to back up on players all the time, and he's on the shoulder of anyone that makes a break,
Yeah. And I suppose, for the Raiders, look, going all right, it's trying to bounce 8 of the last 11. And in the last kind of few weeks, you can really kind of see Jack back to his best. He just needs a controlling 7. Like, Fogarty's not special. He's about league average, but he's similar to where Aiden Caesar was in 2019. And that's...
Yeah.
Key for
like
me.
I know Williams was your cream, if you could have kept him, but...
Williams kind of 2-6. It's kind of like having 2-6s, though, with Williams. Yeah. I always kind of thought that, and... Yeah, look, we could cut teams apart, but then we couldn't win the kind of guide you around the park game. Do you know what I mean? My stat, I'm going to give you a little kind of glimpse into the future. So basically, when we do our end of season teams of the years, the Pine's going to be my prop, okay? Let me warn them. My God. His stats include bringing back the absolute biff, 166 run meters, 7 tackle busts, 4 offloads, and a try with half of the Titans on his back.
And the yellow card.
That's what I'm saying, for bringing back the biff. That was the first that I read.
I have him in my football fantasy. He got 93 points with a yellow card with 10 minutes off the field.
And he wasn't even a captain.
It was disgusting. And I was thinking about it because I think he scored 70 something and 80 something the last 2 weeks. And I was like, let's take him on.
Yeah, geez, I actually haven't looked at mine since round 6. I'm probably dead last.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I hate the app, to be fair. The NRL Fantasy app, not a huge fan. Lads, if you're listening, sort out.
Yeah.
And that's all I had.
Is he Tongan or Samoan?
He's Kiwi.
He's Kiwi. Kiwi. Yeah, Kiwi. So he will be, hopefully, he'll be prop with
Fish.
Imagine that. The world.
And rolling Moses Leo off the bench.
Oh, disgusting. Oh, who needs that in the middle?
And then, if depending on how he feels, you could literally go with starting props.
Kenny Bromwich, whatever.
Yeah, hold on a minute, it doesn't stop there. And you'd also have Marty DePauw as well. So the coach's team was a field side of props. Yeah. Play Jason Demololo at 6, or he'd be playing for Tonga, sorry.
A dark horse for World Cup. I think they'd be flipping tight. Yeah, no, the Raiders, you're going to creep the whole way into that.
We're going to finish ninth in the last game of the season. We'll beat the Panthers this weekend, and I'll be like, it's happening, and we'll finish ninth. We'll lose to the Knights the last game of
the
season.
Yeah, the Knights will have 6 weeks of defending. It'll be 6-0.
Yeah, stop the Knights.
There you go, So the next game was on Saturday.
Classic.
Point Bet Stadium. Sharkies took on the Rabbits. 21-20. Two equally matched teams. I think they went tit for tat there for a long, long time. They were, you score, we score, you score, we score. And if Fafita scored with 12 minutes to go, serious bump off Murray, carried the...
roll back the
carried the hooker across the try lane with him. Like, and then you thought like the Sharks could have held on. Could have held on. And then, is it Tarolo? What was his name?
We'll go with that.
Yes, he crashed over with 2 minutes to go, like under the sticks. Now, if you look at the replay, it took them a long, long time to give the try. It was 50-50. They were like, the commentary were like, don't give it. And then they were looking at it again, give it. So, like, it was a fair, close call. Like, and that put us into golden point. Mitchell had like two attempts that were absolutely atrocious in the first period of golden point.
Mm-hmm.
And then Matt Moylan had an old fucking swing out of a right foot that if your child did it, you give out to him. You'd be like, get back out there and practice. Second half rolled on, then Burgess made a serious break to put them in serious field position.
Yeah.
Like probably this if they got that, it would have shown, it would have been replayed for a while. Like it was one of them breaks, like he made a break, had the whole team chasing him, like put Mitchell in serious position, and he pulled it again to the right, and then Burgess became the villain. Nearly took Mother Tower's head off. Now fair play to him, because he made that break in the middle of the field at 20 metres, and he made his tackle out on the edge on the halfway line, so he was putting the effort. He just threw himself at Ronaldo Mother Tower. And fair play to Ronaldo. Ronaldo stood up and got hit by a bus. He was really making that joke. So from the penalty, like, the Sharks got into great position, and then Hines just stepped up. Matt Mullen, out you go. Hines stepped up, and with the slowest of drops I've ever seen to kick the ball, I was like,
he could have hit it twice for him.
He's too cool. He's too cool for his own good. He's too cool for my good. Like, but it was great. It was a great victory for the Sharks. And they were really tested in this game, like, by a really, really good side. The only thing that I thought was a bit weird, when Mitchell went into the centre, they moved Nakora back to full back and Mitchell went into the centre, and it just didn't really work. Where you have Nakora is used to defending three out, why not put him two out and make him defend like there?
Mm.
And put Mitchell in your spine, probably arguably the most influential player in the game right now. They just took him out. I think he had 6 runs when he went into the centre, like, for 61 metres or something. Like, something stupid. Like, it just doesn't make sense what they're doing.
No. Now, what I would say is, give me this game in a dry track in finals.
Scary.
It'd be like, they're like, the only expression that comes from fighting is like, styles make fights. Like, this is, it's a brilliant matchup, because they can both play it physically. They both have wingers that can score tries.
Tracy had a serious try in the corner. Like, for a fella that you don't know where to play him.
Yeah.
He's just too good for his own good.
Yeah.
But GC had something work to do as well when he got around the corner, but he just put it down something serious. Like. But as you say, like the two teams would go like a dry track and a hard ground.
And a fully
fit side as well, like if you
and
had
a do or die, like, do you know what I mean, like a knockout fixture, yeah, it'd be fantastic. Yeah, no, that was arguably it's strange, like it wasn't the most glamorous fixture to watch,
but as soon as it went to, it's like that 12 minutes when after Fafita scored that try, it started to get good and they started to get into positions that you go, Jesus, the rabbit holes. And then as soon as they scored that try, Tatola was the one that scored the try, then it was on, then you're just sitting there for like 10 minutes going, come on, do something. Every drop goal that went over, there was two of them really close, like as in the camera view, you didn't know if they were gone. Like Matt Moylan was probably the only one that you went, that doesn't have a hope.
I see why people said you were finished.
Yeah.
You've been good this year, but I see why people said you were finished. Yeah, look, like, hopefully we get that first round of finals. Right, next up, Broncos Wests. 18-32 in favour of West, 12 all at half time. Like, you've got a feel for West they finally got their spine like looking phenomenal, and they're just getting riddled with injuries. Look, we did kind of flag this as a banana skin, to be fair. Listen back to the previews last week, but we're a soft duo, to be fair. None of us had the balls to pick West. But
next week.
Well, I don't know. Like, Hastings is now gone, as well as... Well, I don't know when Luke Brooks is back.
I think he's back this week.
Oh, good. It's been interesting to see how they go. Like, we know what Dewey can do. He is just that natural competitor.
But he doesn't do... He doesn't do something spectacular. He's just a big, awkward fucker.
You're better off having a big, awkward fucker than a small, awkward fucker.
Yeah.
Usually speaking. But I thought Jack Madden was fantastic.
Yeah, that's... No, he was good. Like, I was impressed with him. Even his try, like, he overran or did... Whoever threw it behind him, like, he still was able to
bring it in, like,
and hold his bearings, like...
Yeah, the scary thing for me, and I know obviously they were asleep at the wheel, but the Broncos were bullied. The forward pack was bullied, and it's like and a home this close to finals, it's not a great performance to be putting in. Now hopefully, look, they were just asleep at the wheel, but you take Patty Carrigan out now for the next 4 weeks. Does this soft underbelly of the Broncos of the last previous seasons start to kind of rear its ugly head? Because they've been a very dominant pack this season, especially like Ricky, Thomas Flegler, Ken Haas, Pat Carrigan.
Yeah,
they've been dominant like in patches, and they've been uber physical, but they didn't show up, and it was the West for me who bullied them, and that kind of laid the platform, as good as Dewey and Madden were. And look, since they sorted that spine out, Dane Laurie, fullback. He's played his best football in the last 4 or 5 weeks. So, yeah. My stat, again, was quite an even one. It was just tackle busts. Tigers 40, the Broncos 34.
Yeah.
They really out-physical them, to be fair. I
like how direct they were then, up the middle, like with their forwards. Like, their forwards really stepped up to get the platform to the like of Hastings and Dewey to run the ball a bit more.
Yeah.
So like it is turning the corner, hopefully.
Yeah, but it's probably too much. It's too little, too soon. Too little, too late.
Yeah, too late. We'll see next week.
Are we going to get the same again at the start of next season? But yeah. Look, seems to be going the right direction. And let's take it for what it is. They've kind of come in fits and starts this season, West, and hopefully for the Broncos, that is just a blip.
It'd be interesting to see. I think is it Reynolds has the mic'd up on Yoki will be sure to this Benji's. Week. Tomorrow, is it? It's tomorrow or this morning? I don't know which. I think it's tomorrow. And Benji's. So it'd be interesting to see how that went.
Yeah. Look, I didn't have a whole pile on that game, though. It was a good watch. I was just like, man, look, it's strange results.
I think it's nearly a dead rubber. Like the only one that doesn't benefit is the Broncos, like, as in, what is it to the West? Like, they just get one point away from Titans, like, that's it.
What is it for the Broncos? Like, they've made finals. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's more of a reality check for the Broncos, like, that it brings the feet back down coming into the
final. Could be a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, because their young fellas like are flying, but like they still need that shot, the system, that reality check that a good loss does. That they focus up next week and go again, especially as you say when Carrigan's gone for next, I think it's 4 weeks away.
Yeah, the only thing is, I think Cabo's back actually next week.
So that'll be good.
Yeah.
No, so Sunday in McDonald Jones Stadium, the Knights took on the Bulldogs. It was 10-24 to the Bulldogs. Just the young Bulldogs again, run riot in Newcastle. Like, is it Carrez?
Jason Carrez,
like, he's going to be an asset baller for this team for the next few years. Like, he's going to be staple to this team. Like, first try was good, just hands, nice slick hands. Second try was just, I don't know what Adam Carr is doing in training, but keep it up. Like, little playmaker, little dink over the top to his opposite winger to go over. Like, it was just to try and keep the play alive. As you say, the Knights just look absolutely pathetic in the defence.
I think I would say I'd fancy every New South Wales Cup side against them. That's how bad they look. Like, they're just like Adam O'Brien has to go, and it's not even I'm not like rooting for someone to lose their job. I actually think they need to like go through a full rebuild. I think they should have let Ponga go when they had a chance. I just think you don't get the value out of him. I think they've overpaid in forwards that are just soft. And then he looked like the performance at the start of the year. Like, dang, Gagai, like, where's he gone? Like, he was brilliant at the start of the year. He's brilliant in Origin. And then he's just, I don't know where to go from here.
Yeah, it was 36 to 18 missed tackles in favor of the Knights there. 36 missed tackles there. And the top five missed tackles, like, player stats are all Knight players. Like, so where can you get, like, and the fact that they're middle forwards, maybe. There's a lot of big bodies in that list, like, that should be making these tackles. Like Burton and Carr for the Bulldogs are just linking up so well. Like, that kick over the top, like, that Carr stands flat, like, and just dinks it over the top. Like, it's the most simplest play I've ever seen.
It's not defending it.
The quickest player on the fucking game, like. So why not do it, like, especially in second or third tackle where a fullback is either not hit before or he's in the middle of the field where like it's working, like. And I think Flanagan came out and said that Potter just simplified the game plan and everyone bought into it, like, and it showed. Like, I agree, if Potter was there at the beginning of the season, the Bulldogs would have been a different kettle of fish coming into the end of the season. I think they'd be kicking the arse at 10th, 11th place, like, with the performance.
Yeah.
Like, you're putting the top eight, like, you're under pressure, like, which.
Yeah.
Like, even the pack is doing well, like.
I just think they have a side now that the fans can buy into. Do you know what I mean? It's not.
It's something.
It's not just their playing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's something.
It's local juniors.
They can see the difference, yeah. There's a lot of homegrown talent there coming up. At least it's something to cheer for. And next year, arguably, you have Kickout coming and.
Reed Manning. Deform Hooker of the comp this year.
I'd say, like. The Dolphins did a great freaking business getting Marshall up there. He arguably one of the most improved players I've seen all year. Like, he's after going a step above, like, this year, like, where he would have been a bit player last year. He's definitely a star this year for.
Definitely. It's good to see, because they've been kind of far adrift for a while now. Obviously not now anymore, but like for the past few seasons they have been. So it's great to see them back. All good there. Knights are a mess. Final fixture Sunday as well. Dragons Cowboys. So 34-8 in favour of the Cowboys. 8 points, 10 at half time. Obviously the Dragons score entering the second half. Cowboys are second, lads, and they're coming home strong.
I tipped the Dragons in this. I just like to take that back.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I did me a favour. I made it somewhat respectable. That result on Sunday represents just their first victory in Kagera in 20 years. So that was a big result for them. They don't play too often in Kagera, but still. It was a tight first half, but kind of similar to the West results. It was all forward led in the second half. JT and Nanai were just. Different custard.
Nanai is some player. Like, if he doesn't get, he's up for rookie of the year, is he?
He is rookie of the year.
He has to be. He's out there running away with, like, ridiculous. Like.
And look, like, with the Cowboys, is it Todd Payton's coaching? Is it just the perfect kind of squad at the perfect time? In that, like, he just got the best out of Dearden. No one could have predicted what they would have got out of Dearden this year. No one would have predicted what they would have got out of Scotty Drinkwater. And then Nanai just comes out of nowhere. Do you know what I mean? They've just everything seems to have gone right for them, and they're winning results. Not this one, but in the last few weeks, they're winning results where they should lose the West game. And they just find a way, legally or illegally, to win. So, yeah.
We won't talk about
that. Yeah. Look, Sky Drinkwater, like, two brilliant tries again. I really would not fancy trip up to Darwin in the September heat, especially with. It's just every player, when you look at them, they're playing above what their expected output is. Do you know what I mean? They're far greater than the sum of their parts.
They're a team.
Yeah.
If you get, like, you know, that way, some teams are individuals.
Yeah.
These are all playing for each other, like, and it just shows, like as you say, like, Tom Dearden, of all people, like everyone is on his back and that team, like, they would ride and die for that, but, like, the whole way through, like. which is, I and as you said, like, is it Peyton? I think preseason he stuck to what he thought was the defense, and it is working for him. Like,
I think he just nailed the culture aspect of it. Yeah, like, you look at, say, Val Holmes, who came in big money, fullback money, and then he had to play center, but he's probably been one of the centers of the year. Do you know what I mean? So he didn't sulk. He didn't.
No, they all bought into it. Like,
they all bought in. They all worked around. For the Dragons, I'd say that result probably means they've lost out on the eighth. I mean, they could come back, but that result is, I think it's their, they've lost 8 out of 11 games against the current top 8 sides. So if they were to somehow make the 8, because we lose to Knights in the last round and finish 9th, like I've predicted all along, they'll get bounced in the first round. So they may make the 8. I don't think they're going to make the 8, but if they do, they'll be one and done. My stat for you: run meters, Cowboys 1546 and the Dragons 1151. So almost 400 meters in the difference. But the Dragons have led the Cowboys by about 20 at halftime. So it just shows you how dominant the Cowboys were in that second half. All forward led, as I said. But yeah, that's the round 20 reviews. Now to the tipping. So we both had terrible weekends, to be fair. I came home victorious with a score of 3-5. So look, that now leaves it at the Tash 89, the Sasquatch 82. So it's
tipping.
It's a bit like the Broncos there looking over their shoulder. We've had a great year, but maybe there's something coming.
That's sweating now.
Yeah, look, so plenty of interesting fixtures, but we'll just run straight through it. So game one, Roosters Broncos, Thursday at 10:50, SCG. So for the Roosters, obviously Lindsay Collins, as you mentioned, is out with a concussion. Egan Butcher's out with a suspension, and so Matt Lodge obviously moves into the starting side at prop, and Terrell May and Ben Thomas are the new faces on the bench. May has played about 5 games off the interchange bench this season, and Thomas lines up for his first NRL match since round 24 of last year. So they're getting low to the Roosters. There's plenty of injuries and stuff like that. For the Broncos, Paddy Carrigan got his 4-match ban Tuesday night. Colby Hetherington has been named in his place at lock, and then obviously Cobo returns after missing the past fortnight with his concussion in Origin 3. That means Doris Hoiter, I don't know how to pronounce that, goes to reserve lift. I thought he's been a good inclusion in that period. Jake Turpin has been recalled to the bench, and that means that Corey Pax is dropped, but Reese Kennedy also comes into the 17. My prediction, I do think it's going to be the Roosters. I think they have too much to play for to lose this one, although I do think it's going to be a tight one.
I'm the same with you. I think Roosters at home, especially with the way Teddy's playing, like, it was great great bit of play in the last game he played. I think he made a scoop, and then, or he got a kick, made a break, and then Verrills made a scoop, and he was there for backed up his own scoop from the tackle and took the off. Like, it's just, his work rate is phenomenal. Like, I know there's discussions of him, like, being in the same breath as, say, Billy Slater, like, but, like, arguably at the end of his career, like, it's going to be very, very tight to who's going to be the greatest fullback of all time. Like,
I think that you, like, nearly where he wins the debate is, like, Slater played at the end of, like, the greatest hooker and potentially the best.
Well, arguably one of the club sides of the year, like, of generation.
Decade.
Like, you're looking at a dynasty, like, of, like, I know they have 2 scratches on their history, like, still, like, them teams were phenomenal. Like,
doesn't mean he played poorly those years, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like,
I think the side he was in has to be weighted versus the Roosters are good, but still. Yeah, no, I'm happy with both picking the Roosters and that one, to be fair.
Friday morning, Storm and Titans at AMI Park. Give me 2 seconds, team list. But after the team was here, I think Yoki Mowi's dropped out just in all them under COVID protocols. So, I think Grant Anderson comes in at centre. David Nofaluma moves to wing. I see Xavier Coates is named the reserves, which is good for them. On the Titans side, Jaden Campbell starts full back. AJ Brimson moves into the halves. There's not much else that changes in the centres. Corey Toby Sexton named at 20 in the reserves, which is a big drop from grace. So Tanaboy, I know Tanaboy played well, had two assists there at the weekend.
He's been playing well.
I think Toby has the Agby the league leader in reset, in set resets or whatever.
Yeah, but we've talked about this
before. Yeah, no,
he ain't scoring.
Yeah, why Tanaboy had two assists.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many you reset.
Yeah.
I think the Storm at home, they're tipping them. I think Storm is $1.11 to $6.70 for the Titans. I think it's a bit of a slap in the face for the Titans with the way the Storm is lighting up. I think it'd be much tighter than that. I'm tipping towards the Storm, but an upset for the Titans would not be off the cards for me.
No, I'm in agreement. But I think the Storm will just get the job done.
The clever one is Storm,
I'm completely agree with that one. Next up, second game on Friday, Manly Parramatta, 4 points Park, but look, we all know it's Brookie. 5-11 for the Seagulls. They've a lot of players returning this week. I don't know why, but yeah. Jason Stab, Christian Tupelotu, Talatau Kuala, Olakuatu, Tofoa Sipley, all back in the starting side. Sean Kepi is still out with a shoulder, and I think he's criminally underrated as to how they play. Andrew Davey suffered a head knock against the Roosters, has been named to play. And Borbo is back from the head knock he suffered in round 19. Dylan Walker and Martin Tapau do revert to being on the bench after starting last week. For the Eels, Jake Arthur takes over at halfback because obviously Mitch Moses is injured, and that's the only change to the squad. Arthur starts at halfback for his first appearance for the first time in 22 after playing 5-8 in round 7 and 8. My prediction for this one, and I'm going to live to regret it, it's Paran.
Oh,
too much going on in Manly, and like there's more talk with these players having severe issues. They tried to stay the ship with a 45 minute meeting, but these players are incensed.
Yeah, I think they were made the culprits.
Fall guys, yeah.
Yeah, which I think the club is a lot to answer for these. I think they're talking about culturally that someone should come in and talk to the players. I think professionally someone needs to come and talk to the club. So
we all have homework, guys.
yeah. They're gonna not point the finger, but it's definitely your fault. I'm going to go with the Eels for this. You picked the Eels as well, did you?
Yeah. There'll be no change in the tipping.
I think just with the performance last week, I think they'll get a rise off this. I know the Eagles, the lads are coming back, but I just think with all that's going on, I think the Eagles might just get it done.
Fair.
Alright, Saturday at 6 a.m. in Sunshine Coast Stadium, Rabbitohs take on the Warriors. Team sheet. Tanner Mill and Tass are in the centres. Poto's on the wing. Blake Taff at 14. There's not much difference now in. I think there's the centres in it from this week. Reese Walsh starts at fullback for the Warriors. Wade Egan starts at 6 for the Warriors again, which will be interesting to see how he goes. Bunty Afua and Karatai are on the bench. Adam Pompey is on the reserves, named on the reserves. I think, like, the way the Rabbitohs have played, the Warriors are in trouble. especially at home. Like,
the Warriors have nothing to play for. The Bunnies have to win.
They have to win. Like the next four games for the Bunnies are crucial. Sunshine Coast as well.
Redcliffe, isn't it?
Redcliffe, yeah.
So. Well, up that neck of the woods anyway. It's in Queensland.
Yeah, sure, look. I think the Rabbitohs would walk these Warriors. I think if Mitchell is on his game, like,
it's the final home game for Reece Walsh as part of the Redcliffe Warriors.
Yeah,
it's his official send off.
I think they have too much.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Game 5, Raiders Panthers.
You're doing Rabbitohs as well. Yeah.
Sorry.
Just again. I need that. Because then I can talk back and say you picked nothing and it doesn't count. I win that.
unless the Warriors blow up an upset. Game 5, Raiders Panthers Saturday in GIO Stadium, Canberra. 8:30 kickoff. For the Raiders, the return of Jordan Rapana from that suspension sees Albert Hapoete drop to 18th man. Now look, he's been very good. To be fair, I'm impressed with Albert Hapoete. Adam Elliott hurt his hip against the Titans, but he has been named to play, but he could be a late dropout. For the Panthers, obviously a lot of key moves here. Sean O'Sullivan moves to 5'8", from 5'8" to halfback. And Jamin Salmon comes into the starting side at 5'8". Stephen Crichton returns after the nasty kind of ear cut after Finucane went full blown helicopter.
I think the Raiders are really looking to take his head off as well after last year.
Yeah. It's not a good game to come back with a bunch of strapping and a scrum cap.
So you put an extra stitch that just in case.
And Joey DePoyne being properly here. Yeah, I don't know who he's running at. Backup hooker Mitch Kenny is also back on deck. Look, my prediction, it has to be the Raiders. Because I wouldn't be a true fan if I didn't predict them against the Panthers this time round. But I could still see the Panthers winning this one. Such is the talent in the squad.
It's a toss up. Yeah, it's a toss up between, as you say, like the Haas really sways, really puts you in doubt with the Panthers. But I think, as you say, the Panthers may have with Tina's there, they might just have a bit too much for the Panthers, or for the Raiders. So I'm going Panthers in this.
Okay.
They never give the Raiders a chance.
Never. Hopefully, it plays in my favour.
Saturday at 10:30. In Point Bend Stadium, Sharks take on the Dragons. As you say, Sharks are favourite for this. K Dykes, is it? Goes into fullback for the Sharkies. Kyle Tracy stays on the wing. Matt Moylan and Hines in centres. Not much. Braden Trindler, Aidan Tolman, Tegan Wilton and Andrew Feeder are on the exchange. For the Dragons, Moses Mbai holds his place at fullback. Hunt is named at 7. Billy Burns comes into the role. Tyrone Sloan is named 14, Aaron Woods 15, Francis Molo and Josh Maguire make up the interchanges. Michael Molo and Max Fegan are named the reserves. As we said, like, the Dragons, after like last week's result, has nearly put them out of the running for the 8. So unless they're going to come in and try and upset someone, I think the Sharks will have too much for them, especially after that tight win last week, where like victories like that will bring this team on something serious. So I think the Sharks will have too much for the Dragons.
Yeah, I'll be witch on that one. Both is going Sharkies. And then first game on Sunday, 5:00, Salter Oval. Bulldogs, Cowboys. So Mick Potter has named the same 17. They got job done against the Knights. The only kind of key movement is Raymond Fatila Marina is listed among the reserves. He's come back from that rib injury. Sideline him in round 20, but look, if he plays, it'd be great to have him back out, but they might rest him for this one. For the Cowboys, Kyle Felt is going to miss the next two games, a hamstring injury. His place is taken by a fairly kind of adequate replacement in the Hammer. Do you know what I mean? It's not like you're just pulling someone from reserve grade.
It's a ridiculous reserve to have, like, or an implication to have, like an origin
Bradley. Winger
just to come in whenever you want.
and the man who probably would beat Joshua Le Carre in 100 meter sprint.
Yeah.
And then veteran, obviously, Jay Granville, new man on the bench. Not that he's going to offer the Cowboys much, but look, he has that bit of experience. Prediction for this one just has to be the Cowboys, but I do think the Dogs are going to give them a good game. So I'm thinking like 24-16 in favour of the Cowboys, coming out strong in the second half. So,
yeah, you say like it'll be, I think the Bulldogs will make it tight.
Yeah.
You know who impressed me last week? Lucia Lalua.
Brilliant pickup.
I think.
Brilliant pickup.
Unbelievable pickup for this time of the year. Yeah. Like, he just adds to it. And Ruben Cotter as well is on the interchange as well. Was he there last week? Yeah.
He was as well.
He was there. He didn't make much of a thing. I think they're bringing him back gradually, slowly. Like, just to make sure. But, like, Lucia Lalua, I think it was brilliant. Yeah. Like, it was a great pickup, a great bit of business by the Cowboys. Yeah. I'm going Cowboys as well.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then our last game on Sunday in Camelbelt Sports Stadium is Wests against the Knights. I think you go the same as me. The Knights can't defend, so the Wests, we're actually tipping the West to win again.
it could be the Wests against the Wakefield Trinity. Oh, sorry, the Knights against Wakefield Trinity Wildcats. But yeah, I'm telling you now,
we'd be in trouble.
Yeah, or Newcastle Thunder.
Jack Madden starts for the Tigers with Hastings and York Curry still out. Not much change. Cheryl Peach coming in at 17. Tex High starts at fullback. Dominic Young comes onto the wing for the Knights. Jim Brown, Brody Jones is in at Lucy's. Oh, in at Haas. That's really it. Jack Jones on the reserve. There's not much change in, like, and you go down the team sheet on the Knights, like, and you look there and see who would make a difference. There's not much spark there. Even come in, like, I know Kurt Mann had a great start of the year, but like, where's that gone?
Yeah, he's an addition. He's not a player who's gonna win you the game. Yeah, he's great when you're going well.
Adam Dewey still at 6, lovely. Jack Madden performance last week shows us that he can play the standard of rugby and play well. So I think having him, it's an addition as well. Like, so I think with the performance last week, the West will roll on the Knights this week.
Yeah. Yeah, look, like, they went up to Suncorp, got a result. They play the same way at home against the Knights. It's not even up for debate.
No,
I'm in agreement with you on that. So look, not much key fixture this weekend is obviously Raiders Panthers. I'm not going to make any inroads, and you're not going to put further away. So that's the key fixture, guys. Make sure to stick it on the cord so you'll know before you tune in.
Yeah, the drama of it all.
Yeah. Look, I suppose a bit of a later podcast than normal. Just life got in the way, folks. It happens. Look, we'll try to be early from next week. We'll try to be out earlier next week.
Definitely.
But look, that's all from me.
That's me done too, bro.
Thank you and good night.
Good luck.
Minutes to go, 8 points all. Play to Keary, veers down the left, short pass Mitchell. Beautiful pass to Tupou, into the backfield, gives it to the Nesto.